Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our generation's team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
Welcome to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on 101.1. So thank you for tuning in. And if you're listening on our website of our past recorded shows, thank you for tuning in. And please tell your friends, family members about Generations Magazine. All our past magazine issues are there, along with our webinars that we've done and any events coming up. So our annual Aging in Place is October 1st, 2022, at the Almont Hotel. That's the big one we do every year. There's six different breakout rooms with speakers going on at one time. Every hour we switch out. And so you're scrambling to the next room. And then we have over 50 exhibitors in one of the hibiscus rooms. And in the big hibiscus room, we'll have Alzheimer's doing a presentation on Alzheimer's dementia. So you do not have to RSVP for that one. And then starting August 24th, we'll be having our monthly mini workshops at the Almont Hotel. You do have to RSVP for that. So check that out. But it's really important to understand. Those are smaller ones. It's going to have between 20 and 30 people. You're able to ask more personal, direct questions and get more faster answers to them, because a lot of times people don't want to ask questions with a big crowd going over there. So it's a little bit more intimate. You can address more issues. I'm going to kind of spend more time with you to identify the problems and help you give you some solutions. So you do have to RSVP for that, please. So 808-234-3117. But anyway, today we're going to talk about long-term care. I just did this webinar podcast for the Navian and formerly Hospice Hawaii the other day. And it's on their website, NavianHawaii.org. But we're going to talk about long-term care. And for a lot of people that may not know my background, I've been in finance, mortgages since 1988, and then got involved in around 2002 with regard to reverse mortgage. And a friend of mine asked me, you know, do you know what it is, right? I said, yeah, kind of, but no. But when I did my research about taking that jump from regular mortgages to reverse mortgages, I realized there was a huge demographic of aging people coming on board, and more so with the baby boomers, taking care of their parents. And I looked at the long-term care issue, the huge population. In the United States, 10,000 people turn 65 every single day. That's a huge, huge number. That's why Medicare is so popular now, and that's why we have so many speakers and sponsors and advertisers on Medicare. But it's really about us aging well and living well until the point we need some form of long-term care. And so when I was first, within 6 months of me in the reverse mortgage industry, I was only 42, I really didn't really understand who my client was in regards to what their life was about. I didn't really understand retirement or trust or Alzheimer's or fall prevention or elder abuse or caregiving, what that entailed, what it did to people's lives. I had a 401k. I wasn't thinking about retirement at all. I knew a little bit about Social Security and Medicare, but not enough. But what I realized very early on is that I cannot provide a product or service without understanding my clients. Not only about them, but their needs, wants, and concerns. So I did a deep dive, did a lot of research. Actually, I started a radio show and a TV show on Olelo called Kupuna, Today's Kupuna, and Kupuna Connections with Dr. Cullen Hayashida. And I just learned by inviting guests on the shows, and I learned like that by interviewing them like I do on this show. But one of the things that came across my research early on was about caregiving. And a friend of mine sent me a quote that was very popular at the time, and today it's just so prevalent. It's from Rosalind Carter. Her quote is, "There are only four kinds of people in the world. Those who have been caregivers, those who are currently caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need a caregiver." Think about that. The four types of people. I'm going to need care at some point down the road, unless I died of a heart attack in Make really quickly. I have not been a caregiver, not yet at least, but I do help out my parents a little bit. It's just something that I've thought about quite a bit. I talked to my wife about this as we're 62 now. Not that we need care right now, but we bought long-term care insurance before I was 60. I bought it at 59. That's a whole nother program. We'll talk about long-term care insurance, but I wanted to talk more about long-term care itself, because at some point we're going to need to provide some kind of care or need some kind of care. And hopefully you don't get burned out from caring for somebody. But it's just really important. So as you guys know, my reverse mortgage business is involved in aging and helping people be able to stay at home if that's their choice. But really today we want to talk about long-term care in a format of five major topics of why should families plan for long-term care. And I say that because a lot of families do not. So I'm here to tell you why you should plan. You need to plan for long-term care. A lot of you do, and know that you have to, but don't know the roadmap, don't know what they should do. So near the end of the session, I will provide some bullet points on how to do that plan. A lot of times, families will do the caregiving themselves, which is great. Knock yourself out. But the reality is, it's very difficult. The reality is, I know you want to be able to care for your parents that took care of you, raised you and everything in your early years, and that's what you want to give back as a payback, but it's very difficult. It affects people's lives, it affects your spouse's life, your kid's life, so I'll kind of cover that. The third one is what kind of options for caregivers, because you don't want to be doing all the work. And lastly, how to pay for long-term care, and then my recommendations on how to make that plan for long-term care. So that's just something that, and I'll sprinkle in stories of from my clients over the years and from the Generations Magazine articles that I've done in radio shows. But so why should families plan for long-term care? The reality is we're just simply living longer. Technology today and medicine today is going to keep you alive. I mean, from what I understand from my research, and this is like over 10 years ago, it takes $1 billion to get a pill, a medication, from the start to the finish to market. $1 billion. So I jokingly tell people, do you think the medical and the pharma industry is going to make a drug that's going to make you die? No. They're just going to keep you alive. I was talking to somebody just yesterday about that. He goes, yeah, I mean, I'm 76 years old and I've been taking this medication, you know, and that medication just keeping me alive. I said, yeah, that's what they do. It's called a residual income. You continue to get that automatic. In fact, a lot of the pharmacies now have automatic text when you need to renew your prescription, like clockwork. Technology. In 2000, I believe it was 19, we did a regenerative medicine conference here in Waikiki. We had brought different medical professionals from around the world. And they even brought in a 3D printer from Spain that did a demo. You know, they can already make skin. They're working on different finger body parts. I understand they're working on the liver now. But this is going to prolong our life. I think the oldest person is 118. There's already somebody in Hawaii, in the United States or the world going to live to 120. Believe it or not, the reverse mortgage was created in 1989. And you know what their life expectancy, I mean, what the expiration of a reverse mortgage is? When you reach 150 years old, if you live that long. So I was talking to one of the first people that started talking about and planning the reverse mortgage, Dr. Bing Chen, who wrote two papers on that before 1989. And that was just something they threw out there because you never know what's going to happen down the road. That's how far they thought down the road about the reverse mortgage. Not that I don't think we're ever going to live to be 150, but you know, you never know. But technology and medicine is wonders on longevity, aging. And as you guys know, Hawaii is the oldest state in the country. We finally beat out Florida. We're living longer here. In fact, University of Hawaii did a study, gosh, over 10, 12 years ago, I believe it was. I'm trying to find that study. So if anybody knows that study, that knows me, can send it to me. But they did a study on Japanese living in Hawaii versus living in Japan, Chinese living in China versus Hawaii, Koreans living in Korea versus Hawaii, living in Hawaii, and I think it was six different ethnic groups. And they all lived longer in Hawaii. And there are, you know, some major reasons why, but it was one major reason why nobody ever thought about. And think about it in the reality of life. So real common sense belief of why we live longer in Hawaii. We have great weather. We have good food. If you don't, long you don't travel between 6 and 9 o'clock in the morning and 2 and 7 o'clock in the afternoon, you're fine. No traffic, no stress. We have a great lifestyle here, every outdoor activities. But the major reason why people live longer in Hawaii, anyone on Oahu specifically, we're only 20 minutes at the max to a hospital. Think about that. You have a heart attack, stroke. I knew somebody had a stroke, and they live 3 miles from a hospital. They had a stroke, aneurysm, got to the hospital, and that person is back about 80%. That's amazing. That is just totally amazing after having an aneurysm. I know several people that had strokes and they're living. I know a client of mine had a quintuple bypass. 5 years later, they got long-term care insurance. And that person has lived with 20 years now since that bypass. I noticed another person had breast cancer. 5 years later, they got long-term care insurance. And 20 years later, they're still alive, living. You know, 30, 40 years ago, that would have never happened. Today, it's happening. And albeit quality of life may not be the ultimate best, but they're living pretty good. So it's just understanding longevity of aging. In fact, I was at Long CVS today getting my booster and flu shot. So if you didn't get it, get yours. I was waiting, taking my shot. And it's actually a bookcase of magazines. And I picked up two magazines. The Secrets to Anti-Inflammatory Inflammation. That's really, really important, guys, by the way. And we're going to talk about that in our radio shows and all our workshops. Inflammation is the biggest reason for health issues. And the other magazine was talking about longevity of life. How do we do that? How do we do that? So there's a lot of information about how to live longer. Obviously, eating more vegetables, getting more exercise, obviously. But it's just so important to understand that we're going to live longer. And really, is really up to you to think about how do you want to live that life. Do you want to stay healthier and not have any chronic diseases, how to stave off Alzheimer's dementia. In fact, today, they're spending most of their time telling younger people now how to stay healthy so you don't get Alzheimer's dementia because they have not found a cure yet. They might have found some things to slow it down, but it's very progressive, and life expectancy is 10 years, and I have a relative that's had it for 20 years. So you can live a long time. So just think about these issues and why we need to start planning for long-term care. You know, I was at a conference, gosh, 8 years ago. And the person from AARP said the chance of women needing long-term care was 79%. And for men, it was 69%. That's a national statistic. So 79% of women going to need some form of long-term care, and men, 69% of the men are going to need some form of long-term care. That's a national statistic. So when you think about it and correlate it to Hawaii, because we're healthier, we live longer, more of us are going to live to need long-term care because we're healthier. And I tell people the healthier we are, we're not going to die right away. But that brings into needing some form of long-term care. So it's a big issue. To me, when I started 20 years ago, it was about a 50-50 chance you're going to need some form of long-term care. 20 years later, it's almost a guarantee. Social Security says 7 out of 10 will experience long-term care. I think it's higher. I think it's 70-80%. I was just talking to a lady this morning, dire need of solutions to how to deal with her husband. She can't lift him. He doesn't want to bathe. He doesn't like taking medication. He doesn't exercise. And he's got early signs of dementia. So she's called me to see, what can I do? I said, well, men are different than women. Men get depressed. And I'm not a psychologist, guys, nor do I tell you I'm a doctor or anything, but just through my experiences, all the things I mentioned, and it's true. They get grumpier faster. They don't like to do rehab, especially if it's difficult rehab, unless they're an athlete that want to go back to playing golf or softball or bowling or whatever it is. There's got to be a goal for them. And it's very difficult for men to kind of get out of that funk. So I always tell people, bring in a third party, bring in a close friend, do something to get them going. But that's the reason why we need a plan for long-term care. So I told this lady at some point down the road, he's going to need more care. And hopefully you're taking care of yourself, because what typically happens is when a wife is taking care of dad, the wife will eventually have health issues herself and some pass away. So it's about planning down the road. Like I told this lady, her husband has dementia. You know it's going to get worse. You know, at some point, you may have to put in a nursing facility or a care home. How do you go about that? How do you pay for that? And if you do plan to go, if you can't afford that, what's the plan? You know, we're going to go on Medicaid. Are the children going to help out pay that bill? Do you have long-term care insurance? So they have a little bit of long-term care insurance, but that's the reason why. And I hate to make this a dire straits, but this is a serious issue. Planning for long-term care is a big issue. And, you know, a lot of times the children have to help out. And I don't ever recommend children helping out as long as it doesn't disrupt their livelihood of work and if their family and their enjoyment of growing up and being successful in their career, whatever that may be. So the best time to plan for a storm is before it comes. It's coming. We had talked about this when I got involved in aging 20 years ago. We called it a silent tsunami. It's here, guys. And we've been saying these two words, silent tsunami, for 15, 18 years now. So it's here, guys. So I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but start planning. Be proactive. Be intentional. And start creating a plan. And it's not something that needs to be done right away, but start flipping the cards over. Lay down some plans, maybe a time frame. Of how to address these things, call on different professionals. You're able to call me if you want to. I don't push reverse mortgages on. Just basically, if you know, I'll explain it and you guys decide if that's a good option for you. Because home equity lines are great. All the banks and credit unions have great programs. It depends on whether you can afford to be able to make that mortgage payment. And if you want to live in your home for the rest of your life. So that's really the premise behind the reverse mortgage. But we'll cover a little bit of that later on. But the planning is huge. And if you're an only child, beware. Because you look left, look right, there's nobody else but you. If you have family or siblings on the mainland, think about that and have that conversation. Because that causes a lot of family infighting. So it's just something that you got to start thinking about. Now, long-term care is a worldwide issue. I had a gerontologist friend of mine that went to South America and to China in the last 6 years. And China has no infrastructure for long-term care. They have to do their own planning within the family. It's a great opportunity for commercial businesses, but it's a very struggle. South America, they're getting better. They're very much limited to Hawaii, but still limited services. It's a problem worldwide. And, you know, long-term care, families tend to do it themselves. They want to give back and take care of mom and dad, or they promise mom and dad will take care of them. But it starts out part-time, and it gets to be a full-time job. Please don't allow yourself or your siblings or your children to be full-time caregiver if they can still work. I have two friends of mine that do not have Social Security because they don't have the 10 quarters of work because they took care of mom and dad for 20, 25 years. And they were so beat up after caring for them when both parents died, they couldn't work physically, emotionally. So they don't have Social Security. That's a serious problem. I have another friend of mine I was talking to just yesterday. I was telling him the story. He goes, yeah, I did that too. That's why I'm back to work at 76 years old to get the 10 quarters. And so, guys, this is a serious topic. And start thinking about it, talking about it, planning about it. I don't charge a fee at this point until I get busy enough where I have to charge a fee, but I don't do that right now. I don't plan to, as long as it doesn't stress me out too much, guys. It takes a toll on me and my professionals that I work with. But we all want to take care of our parents. But the reality is, can we emotionally, mentally have the time? As long as your spouse agrees to that, or you don't take away time from your kids. If you depend on your employment or a job, this is tough. This is a tough gig. Long-term care is not free. It's physical, emotional. It affects your relationship and also your own finances. It's just hard work, guys. When families tell me, oh, yeah, my daughter will help out, or my granddaughter will come by and help out, so, you know, don't let them do it full-time. Oh, no, they want to do it full-time. They said they want to do this. I said, well, are they professionals? Are they trained? Are they a nurse or a CNA? So if they don't have the training, they need to get trained. They need to get trained. I had a friend that they called me up, say, hey, mom needs care. I'm sorry. Mom called me up saying dad needs care, but she can't do it. I said, okay, I'll talk to her. Well, dad doesn't want care. I said, well, let me talk to him. So I talked to them and said, you know, your wife can't carry you. You're wheelchair bound. And you need care. Your wife can't do this, and it's very stressful on her. So they finally brought in care 3 days a week. And after a month, they canceled the care. I said, why is that? Oh, it's too costly. I said, but your wife can't take care of you. Doesn't understand how to be a caregiver. Well, you know, I make the decisions in the family, and I don't want that. So, okay. Yeah, and honest, true story. I can't mention the family's name, obviously, but a month later, the husband wanted to go outside into the garage, get some fresh air. So the wife took him out there, sat him in the garage, come back 20 minutes later, and he's on the ground. He fell out of the wheelchair because she didn't know she had to put a seatbelt on him. He fell out of the wheelchair, hit his head, and he died a week later. Amazing story. That's a hard one. That probably would have happened to me because I didn't know you had to put a, I didn't even thought about a seatbelt, but he was at that point where he must have just fell asleep. So all great best intentions, but it cost the family. It's very sad ending, but it's the reality of life, guys. Things happen. I'm kind of a pessimist when I do long-term care planning. In other words, I always plan for the worst case scenario, expect the best. Most families expect the best, don't understand the risk involved. I was talking to a lady this morning about that. I said, you know, oh, he's pretty good. You know, he can walk. I said, well, doesn't sound like you're very confident. Can he 100% tell me that he's not going to fall down? No. Well, then you need to do a fall assessment in the home. He needs to get trained by a physical therapist on how to fall or a personal trainer how to fall. Look at the home. Is it one level? Are there rugs in the way? Are there dips in the flooring, or you have to put his step up one step or two steps to go to the living room. Is the bathroom safe? You know, most falls affect a fall in a bathroom because it's close quarters and everything. If you miss a step, you fall and hit something that's hard. So those are the kind of things that you got to start thinking about. That's why families need to have help. So. And the first line of defense is the family, but it's something that we all need to start thinking about. So it's just something here to stay, and we need to start thinking about this. So anyway, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll come back with options for you caregivers, how to pay for long-term care. And then the last one is how to plan out a plan. Okay, we'll be right back. I'm Percy Ihara, your host here. I have a certified senior advisor designation, which is a double accredited designation. And I also have a CLTC, Certificate in Long-Term Care. So I do a lot of long-term care planning. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
You've worked hard to make it to this point, faithfully paying your mortgage and putting money into your home. Now you can tap into this equity with the reverse mortgage loan designed specifically for those age 60 and older. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist, NMLS number 582-944. Let him show you how you can use a reverse mortgage to gain a new source of funds, just as you would with a traditional home equity loan that you would get at a local bank, but with additional benefits. Give him a call at 808-234-3117, and he'll show you how a reverse mortgage could be an important tool for you. He lives and works right here in Hawaii and understands Hawaii borrowers. Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed Mortgage Banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Percy Ihara, your host, publisher, editor of Generations Magazine. And as you know by my commercials, I am a reverse mortgage specialist. I've been doing this going on 20 years or maybe more than 20 years. I can't even remember now. I also have the designation Certified Senior Advisor, which is a double accredited designation. Only 1% of the accreditations are in a country are double accredited. And about the 40,000 designations out there, only 10% are accredited. So when you see these initials behind people's names, a majority of them are not accredited. In other words, a third party didn't review it. A lot of people use it for marketing. I mean, granted, they took the time to take a test and take a class, but a lot of them don't have continuing education. A lot of them don't follow up on their creed or their mandate of that designation. And it's important to work with a professional that has accredited designations, and they practice this every day. That's part of their career, their job, because a lot of people do not. And it's really important to work with professionals that are in the game. In the financial world, I call it financial gerontology. That's my thing that I heard many years ago about the field of planning for long-term care. It's called financial gerontology. Gerontology is a study of aging. And it's really important to find professionals out there, and albeit there are not a whole lot that are totally experienced in all the aspects of aging. So if you need some help, call, email me, text me. I can give out a referral. I'm a mortgage guy. But I do long-term care planning. I don't charge for a fee. I'm not I don't do that, but it depends on my time. I'll give you as much information as I can. What options are for caregivers? So we are talking about why you need a plan. And then a lot of times a family will do it themselves to care. And at some point down the road, you may do a half and half or different ways of having the care. A good friend of mine said, hey, you know, my mother-in-law lives with me and I'm having a hard time watching her, and she needs to be watched now as she gets older. And I said, what do you think I should do? I said, well, unless you and your wife can take off work, she's going to have to be placed someplace, part-time or full-time, or bring in a caregiver. Well, they tried the caregiver route, and it didn't work so well because they just complained that the caregiver just sat there all day long on her phone. I said, well, depends on what the caregiver can do, which they can do a lot, like folding clothes, putting clothes in the washer, washing dishes, you know, heating up food, small things around the house, nothing major. Instead of them just sitting there on their phone and not utilize them until you need to get up in and out of bed or the couch or turn on the TV, things like that. So there's a lot of things that home health aid can do. So look at that. So, but this person stopped, didn't want to do the home care. I said, what about an adult daycare? Oh, mom's never going to go there. In fact, I had a client of mine yesterday saying, oh, dad's never going to go there. I said, well, what choice do you have? Think about that, guys. So these are options that you need to work through. Obviously, you need to bring in professionals to help you with that. I'm not a psychologist, but I know men are way different than women when it comes to aging, when it comes to how to get them to turn a new leaf or change their lifestyle. I really believe in planting seeds about the decision to move out or have a caregiver or go to an adult day center. So this specific situation, just go to the adult daycare, park in front of the place or if it's close by, and just go in and say, Mom, I'm going to talk to this person at adult daycare. And don't tell them it's about me. No, I have a friend of mine that wants to look at this. So go inside there. Next time you go, ask Mom, can you come and sit inside? I have to talk to this person again about the different activities over there. Let your loved one, your mom or dad, look around. She'll see people her age, maybe the same health status, whether they're wheelchair-bound, walking or not, may have the early times dementia. She may even know somebody there. I had somebody recently that knew somebody there. It was a high school classmate 50 years ago. Amazing. I know one adult daycare center that has an actual slot machine with the arm you pull. What do you call it? The arm bandit? Yeah, they have a slot machine. People line up for that. Of course, there's no money involved, but people just love to pull that arm. My friend's mother-in-law eventually started going there. And then after about a month, 2 months, she would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay, I'm ready to go. I said, no, Mom, it doesn't open until 8 o'clock. So calm down a little bit. There are adult day centers that are open during the weekend. Some maybe even holidays. Some early open as early as 7 o'clock and close as late as 6 o'clock. Allow you to drop them off before they go to work and come back and pick them up after you finish work. By the way, a question somebody asked me yesterday. Long-term care insurance, depending on the policy, does cover adult daycare as long as they qualify. So check it out. Talk to your insurance agent. But adult daycare, great. I've been to many. There's a couple that are Japanese-speaking. So if you have a question about that, let me know. But they're pretty safe, pretty secure. They do activities. Ili Ili has a bus service, by the way, guys, to bring you to the Mo'ili Ili and back. And I don't know how far a range they do pick you up from, but they have a small bus. So that's Mo'ili Ili Community Center there. Great, great program. What are the options for a caregiver? If you get burnt out or you can't do it anymore, or, you know, assisted living, adult residential care home, foster care, nursing home, or just a retirement community, an active community that's for retirees. Those are great options. Take a tour. Ask them to try the food. Like I said, plant seeds like that. You know, Dad, you know, we need to go check it out. Not for you right now, but down the road at some point you may want to look at it. And they're going to give you a free meal. Go check it out. Try different places. You know, there's places where you get a buy-in for lifetime coverage of care versus month-to-month rentals. Some have more activities than others. Some places have skilled care or memory care, which is a big issue right now. That's really, really important. Plan for the day one spouse pass away and the other spouse pass away. It's going to happen, guys. So it's just critical to check these places out. If you're dealing with a loved one, go check them out. Get the brochure. Do a visit. Do a tour. Talk to your financial professional or your attorney or insurance agent, somebody that has experience with that. And yes, it's good to rely on other people's experiences, but everybody's family is different. Everybody handles situations differently. So bring in a third party professional to help you with that. But yeah, gather information. If you're dealing with Alzheimer's dementia, Alzheimer's Association has weekly caregiver support group meetings on all islands. So go to Alzheimer's Association website or give them a call. Very, very important to deal with that, how to understand that, what's going to happen to your loved one. DIY, doing it yourself is great. It's really helpful, but you got to do your research. You got to find out how to find solutions. Surround yourself around professionals, neighbors, friends, to work on this. How do we fund long-term care? So a lot of times they'll get, well, I can't afford this. Okay, so could be anywhere from $4,000 to $12,000 to $14,000 a month. Well, I can't afford this. Okay, I say, well, if this is for dad, men are different than women. Men can rough it and go on Medicaid or share a room with somebody they don't know. But mom's the main one. We want quality care for her. A lot of times men worry about their wives anyway, but it's really important who's going to care for you, where they're going to care for you, and how you're going to pay for that. So right now the state is pretty full. It's not 100% full yet. There's no waiting list yet. But to find a Medicaid bed is a little bit of a challenge. I tell people, I've said this several times, different workshops, he who pays for the care controls the care. In other words, if you're going to have the state pay for your care by going on Medicaid for long-term care, you got to qualify, by the way. But they control the care, whatever the bed is. But the first line of defense is that your parents will self-fund. I work with a lot of financial advisors, attorneys, about how to fund this. And at some point down the road, if they live long enough, they're going to run out of money. So work with your financial advisor. You do not want to run out of money. Like I was talking to a lady early this morning before I came to the studio. She's fine now, but she knows at some point down the road she's going to run out of money. She's relatively healthy, so she figured to be around at least 20 more years. She's 72 years old, at least 20 more years. She knows she will run out of money. So she has a little bit of long-term care insurance, but not enough to then know to cover the cost of care. So think about it. If it's $4,000 to let's say $12,000 to $14,000 today, and I'm 62, if I don't need care for, let's say, 90, so that 28 more years, what do you think inflation is going to do to that cost of care? It's going to be probably closer to $7,000, $8,000 on the low side and $20,000 on the high side. Can you self-fund that? Think about that. I'm a big believer, and people that know me, I'm always planning down the road. So think about that. Because most, or if not all, long-term care insurance policies don't cover the whole cost of care. Now, you can get two policies, which I have a couple friends of mine that have that, and I'm thinking about that myself. Get two policies. But you still got to fund that in retirement until you need that. So it can be costly, but if you think about it, plan that out. Because typically what happens, people will run out of money, and all they have left. So think about this. Your left pocket has all your 401k, your stocks, bonds, annuities, your IRA, your Roth IRA, blah, blah, blah. Your right pocket is your home equity. Hopefully you've done enough, well enough to be able to afford to buy a property, whether it's a condo, townhouse, or single family home. But at some point down the road, if you do run out of money, statistics I've seen, once you reach the age of 80, 70% of people will run out of money. How are you going to fund your long-term care? Maybe not for you men, yourself, but for your wife. So long-term care insurance, yes, is great. It pays cents on a dollar, but you have to be able to afford the premium. So if you have real estate, you can sell your property and rent, or sell it and lease back, or borrow against it. Most people do not have enough money to write a check for any size to pay for care, but they have a property. So having a property, and nobody wants a mortgage payment when they retire, but something that could blow up if you don't have a plan for long-term care, and if you don't have a way to finance that, it really blows up your retirement, and let alone your legacy plan if you want to give it anything to the kids. So the reality check is this: who's going to pay? Who where are you going to be cared for? Who's going to care for you? And or how are you going to pay for care? We have one of the best Medicaid programs in the country, and I've been all over the country, and the State Department of Human Services, as much as the negativity they get, they've done a wonderful job. The Office on Aging, Executive Office on Aging, does a wonderful job. The county's Elderly Affairs Division does a wonderful job. They have a lot of resources over there. So I highly recommend you check it out. Now, obviously, they can't solve every problem, but you got to start doing your own research. You got to start calling around town. There's a lot of nonprofits like Project Donna, ARP, the Caregiver Foundation, CSI, Give Me a Break is a nonprofit that helps caregivers and families. You got to check them out. Do your own research. If not, give me a call. We've done hundreds of stories in our magazine, Generations. Or just go to our website, generations808.com, and Google caregiving. We have a list of support groups over there on our website under resources, so check that out. But Medicaid, obviously, some basic things. You got to talk to a Medicaid specialist or give me a call. You know, for individuals, you can only have $2,000 in financial assets. For a couple, it's over $113,000. Don't quote me on that, but it's over $100,000. You can have a property, but I believe the net assets got to be less than $970,000 estimate. Net means after your value minus the mortgage on the property, that's a net value. You got to look at Medicaid in form of where is there a Medicaid bed? Will they take you? They have nursing homes, foster care, adult daycare. Some places do take Medicaid for adult daycare, so check that out. But if you have Alzheimer's dementia, there are some state facilities that have that, like Leahy. I'm not sure if Halinani takes Alzheimer's. On the neighbor islands, they have places like Wilcox. But it's really important to do your research and search those out. Medicaid is a whole other area because they can put a lien on your property. The biggest one with Medicaid is your property cannot be in a revocable or irrevocable trust. If you're not sure about that, I'm not an attorney, so ask your attorney, how can we qualify for that? Because you do have to qualify. The major way people are paying for long-term care, besides long-term care insurance, is home equity lines of credit. Your bank or credit union has them, but you do have to qualify, that which is an issue for couples or individuals that are retired because they don't have the monthly income. I got in this business because of the reverse mortgage line of credit. When we set it up, it stays there. You're not charged interest until you take the money out. You're not required to make a mortgage payment, but you can if you want to. There's no prepayment penalty. So you can pay every month if you want to. Pay it off in chunks and go to Vegas, win 50 grand. You can pay it down. Or you can sell the property anytime. You can refinance out of the reverse mortgage if you can or your children want to help out. You can sell your property if you have a reverse mortgage. The property can be in your revocable trust or individual name. It goes as low as 55 years old now. We go up to $4 million. We do lend on condominium townhouse projects if we can get them approved. We don't take title to the property. When you finally pass on, basically you pay back whatever you borrow plus interest. If there's available line of credit, that goes to your heirs. And the biggest issue, it's a non-recourse loan where if at some point down the road, if you took all the money out and live a long time, or if you lived in markets like Arizona and Nevada, which I have experience with, where the market value went down from $500,000 to $200,000 in a matter of 5 years during the financial crisis in 2008 to 2012. Why clients call me up and say, hey, my mortgage balance is higher than my value of the property. What do I do? The bottom line is, as long as you pay your property tax and your homeowner insurance and upkeep the property like any mortgage has, you can never be foreclosed upon with a reverse mortgage. It was called non-recourse. So they're very happy. And at the end, they say, hey, wait a minute. What happens when I die if the value is lower than my mortgage balance? Basically, you walk away. The lender cannot come after your heirs, other properties if you have that, or your bank accounts. That's what non-recourse means. The only recourse they have is your home. So can you imagine living another 20, 30 years, possibly more, without having a mortgage payment? How would your quality of life be? I mentioned this to financial advisors, attorneys, and CPAs all the time. How would your client's quality of life be? Can you put a dollar figure on that? So those are all great things. The downside is obviously if the property value is lower than the mortgage balance, yeah, your heirs get nothing. The closing costs are much higher than regular mortgages. But the reality is, what other options do you have? Do you want to sell the property? Do you want to have your kids help make the mortgage payment? So think about that. Lastly, I always tell people, seek out professional help. Seek out professionals that have experience, like an elder law attorney that works with a financial advisor, or a financial advisor that understands financial gerontology, that has a CLTC designation, that has a CSA designation, that has done this many times versus I always tell people, ask your client, ask your advisor, how many have they done? Don't let them say, oh, I do long-term care insurance. No, ask them, how many have they provided? Because the big issue is going to be is whether they find the best policy for you, not the only policy they're certified to sell. A lot of times people only sell certain products. Well, you need to do your own research. Google long-term care insurance. You know, in 2004, there were 100 long-term care insurance companies in 2004. Fast forward to 2022, you know how many long-term care insurance companies are on that today? In 2022? 12. And I believe that may slow come down a little bit. You can't get the long-term care insurance after the age of 78, 79. But if you do, it'd be very expensive. So just make sure you understand that it is an issue that we need to face. I have mentioned this many, many times. Long-term care is going to be the biggest social and financial crisis we're going to see this century. Yeah, I get it. All the kids and everything. We see a lot of commercial about kids, and we want to support kids. But before they get older, what's going to happen to all our aging baby boomers' parents? And when they pass away, the baby boomers. It's the largest segment in our community here. And if you listen to AARP's commercial, the commercial says, live half your life over the age of 50. There's actually more people in this country in the world over 50 than under 50. I just saw an article about Japan. Japan, there are more diapers being used by seniors than children. Somebody looked at me like strange, like, yeah, how does that happen? Because Japan's not having as many children anymore, and there are more seniors. Japan is the oldest country in the world. They have more people over 70, 80, 90, 100 years old than any place in the world per capita. They are struggling with this. Every country is struggling with aging. And it's something to take heart to. You know, we've been talking about the silent tsunami for 15 plus years. And it's a crisis that's involved right now. I know the legislature started looking at this more seriously. I wish they would have looked at it more seriously 20 years ago. But, you know, so be it. But we need to get on more Medicaid beds. And mark my words, if we want more caregivers in this state, the young people, they don't want to do it. It pays low wages. It's not sexy, glamorous. There's no real career in that. I mean, there possibly is if you're looking at being a nurse. Go to UH, Chaminade. I think Hilo has a degree in that. Look at nursing. Anything healthcare is great. But the reality is we don't have enough caregivers. And I don't think educating the public about being a caregiver is going to work. Personally, yes, we are limited on how many nurses we can graduate. Yes, we're limited on how many people that do CNA classes, a certified nurses aid class. Here's the deal. Talk to your politicians. Otherwise, have them call me. The best way to get more caregivers in the state of Hawaii is working on some kind of work visa program with the Philippines, Tonga, and Samoa, who does a lot of the caregiving. I think it'd be a great opportunity for them to possibly, if you have family here or look at a new career, lifestyle, come to Hawaii. We need them. By the way, Philippines is the worldwide caregiver. Abu Dhabi, we see them in Europe. It's all over the world. And thanks to the Filipino community, they do. In fact, look at it in Hawaii. A number of them have care homes. And they do a wonderful job. Obviously, in any industry, you're going to have some bad eggs. But make sure they're licensed, first of all. I never recommend using unlicensed professionals or care home facilities. And I know they got a little mad when we wrote an article about that, but it's true. You're putting your client at risk. But it's something to really start thinking about, start planning for. We have a shortage of nurses' aides, let alone Medicaid beds. Statistics are not in our favor in aging. It's a major crisis that we need to start planning for. Both my parents use scooters today, and it's just something that we got to start thinking about. You know, 20 years ago when I got in this business, nobody really thought about long-term care too much. But when I did my research, it's coming. And today, 20 years later, it's here. I talk to people every day about this issue, whether they're friends or family friends or neighbors or people I play golf or softball with, people that have heard me from my workshops or the radio show or the magazine. It is here. The tsunami is not silent anymore, guys. It's here to stay. And I tell you, next 10, 20, 30 years or more, this is going to be a crisis that we have a hard time facing. So I would say talk to your politicians, talk to your neighbors, get professionals on your side, take good notes, do your research, and start planning for long-term care. If you have kids, set up a college fund like I did. So I told my son, you're going to college. But anyway, gang, it's been a great ride. As you know, like I said, in the commercials, we have Medicare companies, and my reverse mortgage company is here to provide service. We do free consultations. I do home visits most of the time. I can talk to the family. A lot of times after people get a reverse mortgage, they call me because they don't like calling a lender on the mainland. I can help you with that. Email me, text me, call me, 808-234-3117. My personal email is percyehauer@hotmail.com, or go through my magazine. But it's just something that we all have to take pride in, taking care of our parents and also understanding aging for our own selves. You know, I was talking to somebody just the other day, and he brought his wife to a meeting I was at, and I was kind of curious why he brought his wife. His wife at the time was, I think, 62, 61, and he was 63, I think. He came to a meeting, and he sat her down, and I said, I didn't think anything of it. I said hi, she said hi, and we're talking, and all of a sudden he gets up. I said, oh, when... Where are you going to go? Where are you taking your wife? Oh, she's not. Is she leaving? So, no, she has to go to the bathroom. I kind of wonder why Wayne had to escort his wife to the bathroom. Came back and he told me, oh, by the way, she has early onset Alzheimer's. And I would have never known that if he didn't tell me that. So he spent a lot of time with her now. Obviously, he's retired, and the kids help out with her, which is great. And I told him, get involved with the Alzheimer's Association, check out the workshops over there, check out the caregiver support group meetings, learn about the disease, talk to your doctors, get all your professionals around, do planning for legal, power attorney, medical directive, your pulse, do your research on how the disease is going to affect your loved one, guys, because it's progressive and it's a long-term disease. So anyway, guys, we're gonna hang out here. I'm always going to be here for you. Our website, generations808.com, is really a major resource for the state of Hawaii, and that's what we do. And lastly, I wanted to say Generations Magazine was started by a great man by the name of Keene Popo. He was actually the first person you saw on television in the 50s. He recently passed away. I was saddened to hear the news. But he created Generations Magazine because he had some experience with his father. And I was helping him out as a consultant up until 2009. When he closed up the magazine, and I mentioned this before, in January 2010, I approached Keene and said, listen, Keene, I'll help you. Just restart the magazine. Don't have to pay me. We'll recreate this. This is a big issue coming about. And he said, no, Percy, you go ahead. Do what you want to do. And there was a great article by Bob Segal, last week, Friday, I believe it was, in the Advertiser, if you can find that. It was about Keene Popo and his life. But I'm sad to hear the news. My condolences to the family. And we move on. But we wanted to make that honor to him. So anyway, guys, generations808.com. Check us out. Give us a call. Tell your friends about it. So, as always, everybody, every weekend we say aloha and live well.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
The combination of interest rates at near all-time lows and home values at near all-time highs create a great opportunity to get the most out of your home's built-up equity. Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage specialist at MLS number 582-944. If you are 60 or older, you might qualify for a reverse mortgage loan that could turn your equity into extra funds for retirement. Take a few minutes to visit with him about ways this plan could work for you. As a certified senior advisor and being certified in long-term care planning, he has helped many older homeowners just like you to retire more freely. Call him now at 808-234-3117. That's 808-234-3117. Not applicable in all states. Some states may impose a higher age requirement. Visit reversefunding.com/equity-elite for details. Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Telephone 888-494-0882. For licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Licensed Mortgage Banker, New York State Department of Financial Services. Again, call 808-234-3117.